tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
Breath I breathe. There's no more chance to share my love again. Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I'm so happy you've decided to tune in to listen to God's Word today here on the Hope Show. I hope that each of you have had a very blessed week. Today's message is about time management. All of us could benefit from better time management. And speaking only for myself, I know I could greatly benefit from some better time management because it seems like my mind carries me all over the place. And at the end of the day, sometimes I'm left with the thought, what did I really get accomplished today? And I'm sure a lot of you out there in the listening audience can also relate to feeling the same way. But before we jump into today's message, I want to bow our heads in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking each of us up to further serve you. Thank you for the time we have here on earth and for all you have blessed us with and all that you continue to bless us with. We are so undeserving, yet you love and you bless us anyway. Every day is a brand new day, fresh with new grace and new mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, every one of us have the same amount of time in a day. Help to remind us that one day our time will be up. You will bring us home to spend eternity with you. No one knows the day or the hour. All we know is that our time on earth is limited. Our time isn't the same as your time, Father. So help us to make the most use of the time we have and to live every day for you. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel. May the words I speak come straight from you and not of my own understanding. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in this opening prayer. Let's begin. I want to start out with our key verse of the day. It's found in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 7. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. According to these verses, there is a time for everything. I want to start out by sharing something written by Steve Simmons. Life is short, too short to waste time, too short to hate, too short to live with regrets, too short to give up, too short to give in, too short to accept defeat, too short to spend it pursuing things that don't last, too short to resist, reject, or obstruct the God-given destiny that you have been given. Life is short. Live it well. God's promises are eternal. God's blessings last forever. God's love has no end. God's favor is boundless. God's goodness is limitless. The life that God has in store for you is not be short because God is offering you a life that will last. Excuse me. The life that God has in store for you is short, but God is offering you a life that will last forever. Jesus conquered sin and death. Your life on this earth is short, but your life in Christ is eternal. God designed it this way to improve both heaven and earth. Friends, God doesn't want his children to give up, to give in, to accept defeat, live with regret and waste time pursuing things that don't matter, having no eternal value. Life is short. During our time on this earth, God wants us to embrace the opportunity to change and develop and evolve, improve, and receive more and more of this goodness that we're talking about. The abundance, the favor, the life, the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, the success, and the blessings, all of the blessings that he has to offer. Then he made it possible for us to have eternal life after our time is finished on this earth. He provided us the means to experience salvation, to be washed clean of our sins. He sent his Son to be the bridge back to him after the mess that we have created in our own lives, all of the sin in our lives. God created us. He created everything in heaven and on earth. He didn't have to send his only Son to come save us from our flawed selves. But he loved us and loves us so much that he did. He sent his Son to live on this earth amongst us, to feel the things that we feel, and to teach the things that he wanted us to know about the Lord, about our Heavenly Father. His Son was beaten and tortured to bring the opportunity for us to be redeemed through salvation so that we could have eternal life with him when our days on earth are done. God could have given up on us. He could have destroyed the world. He could have said at any moment in time, I'm done with all this. Look at this mess on earth. But he didn't. Who would have blamed him if he had? But our God is a gracious and merciful God. Life is short. Life is sometimes hard. We will all face challenges, obstacles, hard times and opposition. We will experience the valleys and the mountains. And God is there with us through all of it. He is by our side all the time. The enemy will stop you in your tracks and turn you away from seeking and discovering all there is to know about God. He will try every dirty trick in the book to stop you from receiving every good thing God has to offer us. The powers of darkness, disease, and even death will seek to convince us that there is nothing more to this earth than what we currently see on this earth. But don't any of you believe the lies of the enemy. He does not have the final say. The enemy would have our minds be filled with such things as depression and doubt, feelings of doomsday and impending disaster, fear, chaos, hatred, and every other negative emotion out there. The enemy would like to make you believe that hope and faith, love and truth are nowhere to be found. And yet, it is absolutely not true. Not true, my friends. God is not dead. He is alive and well. He is speaking into your life right now, telling you that the Lord's favor is upon each and every one of us. Friends, open your eyes. Read your Bible. Pray. Spend time really, really, really getting to know our Heavenly Father. We are nothing without Him. We think we are. We think we have control. But we are nothing without Him. And with Him, everything is made possible. God only wants all of the good stuff for us. So don't listen to the enemy. Perhaps some of you may be thinking, well, I look around and I don't see the goodness. All I see is hatred and violence, cancer, other diseases, drug abuse, corruption, chaos, and death. Friends, I have two words for you. Look harder. Look harder. Life is too short. God doesn't want you to spend your time on this earth depressed, hopeless, defeated, and confused. Those negative emotions, all negative emotions, are of the enemy. He wants to tie us down. He wants to make us feel defeated and unworthy. And that all we see on this earth is all there is. God doesn't give you these feelings. God loves each and every one of us so very much. Would you want your own children to live their lives feeling like that? Depressed, hopeless, defeated, confused? Of course not. God designed each of us with a specific purpose. Hear me, friends. A specific purpose. Some of you may out there be thinking and feeling or have thought and felt, I don't know what my purpose is. God, show me, please, reveal to me, what is my purpose? I have no idea. But my friends, God has designed each and every one of us with a specific purpose. I read somewhere this week that God commissions us specifically to bring value to this world. Friends, He commissions us. Can you believe that? He loves us. He entrusts us with His creation. He commissions us specifically to bring value to this world that He created. Wow. That blows my mind. That He would have such love for us, that He would trust us so much with His creation, and yet look at what we have done to His creation. You would think He would just say, I'm done. Let's just destroy it all and start all over again. But God loves us. God planned each of us individually to make a difference right here, right where each of us are right now. Grow where you are planted is one of my favorite sayings. You don't have to be a missionary in a faraway land. God calls each and every one of us and qualifies us to grow and sow seeds for others right where we are. No traveling required, unless of course God has called you to travel. You were born on purpose, for a purpose, and each of us have our own mission and calling that no other person living can accomplish, because God has called you to do this or that task. And He has made you specifically for that task. Isn't that the coolest thing you've ever heard? Life is short. Don't wait any longer. Don't waste another minute. Manage your time wisely. Make every moment of every day count for something. You know, many of us have probably caught ourselves wondering, what does our time mean on this earth? One day we are here, and the next we are not. One day our loved ones are here, and the next day they are not. I know I have. But as our key verse of the day in Ecclesiastes points out, there is a time for everything, a season for everything. And we are a part of that. Our life is a season on earth. It's what we do with the dash between the day we are born and the day that we pass away from this earth that really counts the most. Have any of you heard of the poem called The Dash? It's usually read at a funeral, but its meaning is so profound. And I love this poem. This is probably one of my favorite poems. And so I want to take a moment to share it with you because it pertains to our message today about time management. And I'm going to paraphrase some of it. So here we go. The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. When you look at these stones, you will notice that between these dates is a symbol for a dash. And the friend noted, first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date as the day that we pass away. The dash represents all the time that we spend alive on earth. And now, once we pass away, only those who loved that person know what that little line is worth. It doesn't matter how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is that we have God in our lives. We've lived a life for God. How we lived, how we loved, how we spent the time known as the dash. So let's think long and hard. Are there things we would like to change? We don't know how much time left, how much time is left to be rearranged. If only we could slow down enough to consider what's true, what's real, and to consider how others feel. Be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love God and the people in our lives like we've never loved before, like tomorrow is our last. Live in this moment. Treat each other with respect and wear a smile, even knowing that this dash will only last a little while. When we have passed from this earth, can we say that we would be proud of the things that people would say about how we spent this dash? Would God be at heaven's gate saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? What has made our time on earth so special? Friends, time is precious. It's a gift from God. Are you living out God's purpose for your life? Jesus gave his life for us, so that we can live life abundantly. He covered our sins, paying such a huge, enormous debt. Why not give our lives in service for the Lord? Living a life for the Savior is far more meaningful than living for ourselves. Time balances everything. There are many people who have more money, more things, more family, better relationships, better jobs, better careers. But we all have one thing in common. We all have the same amount of time in a day. Exactly 24 hours in a day. And you know what? There is no amount of money that can buy us more time. There is no person or any other thing that can take time away from us. How we choose to spend our time is the decision that we make, each and every day. And it determines the holiness of our relationship with God and others. Friends, we need to commit to stop wasting precious time on the wrong things and the wrong people. If we eliminate time wasters from our daily life, we will have more time to focus on what's really important in our life. God, and our focus on Him is the most important thing in our life, and then family. God gave us the gift of time. What are we doing with it? Are we using it wisely? Or are we foolishly squandering it all away? And while you're thinking on that, I'm going to go ahead and go to a short break. So I hope you will all please stay tuned in to the second half of today's message.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. For you.
Welcome back to the Hope Show. I'm so happy that you've tuned in today to worship the Lord and to get to know Him better. Today's message is about time management. All of us are guilty of wasting time. You know, I was just sitting here talking to my husband, Shaziz, you know, that I'm guilty of wasting time. And honestly, sometimes I'm ashamed of myself for, you know, sometimes I wish I'd never learned about, you know, Facebook and other media platforms, because, you know, some days I have the best of intentions of doing so much around the house and outside the house and all these things, and then I get caught up in something, reading up on something or whatever, and before I know it, I'm frustrated with myself at the end of the day because I didn't get any of those things done on my list. I didn't have a chance to mark, well, I had the chance. I wasted my time. I didn't use my own time wisely. And so, anyway, we are all guilty of wasting time sometimes. Sometimes we need some me time, some downtime, some rest, and some regroup time. But when it becomes a daily, all-day thing, then it's a problem, and we need to think about reevaluating what is really important to us in this one life that we have been gifted with by God. Too much waste is foolishness. God created each of us with a purpose, and if we are wasting all of our time away, then we're not being about God's business. We are not living up to our fullest potential. We are not accomplishing everything that God has equipped us for and created us to do with the short amount of time that He has given us here on earth. Let me ask you this question and answer it honestly. If God called you home tomorrow, what have you done with the dash of time between the date you were born and the date you passed? Would God be pleased meeting you at heaven's gate saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or would He look upon you with some disappointment that you didn't accomplish nowhere near what He had created you to do and be? Would He call you a foolish squanderer of time? Friends, there is eternal life, and there is time. When my time is up on this earth, I truly hope and pray that I will left a good impression on the people whom I love and in all the people whom I encountered. I hope and pray that I will leave behind a lasting legacy for my family, something they'll be proud of and speak to others of with great fondness for years to come. I want to spend my time the way God wants me to spend my time. And that should be the goal for each and every one of us. Even those who do not believe cannot deny the meaning of time, or what you make of it actually matters very much. Life is so precious, no matter who you are or what you believe, it matters. And this is why we grieve when someone we love dies. As believers, we have the hope of seeing them again one day. One day in heaven when a new life also begins again for us, as it has with all those believers who have passed before us. But we still grieve because for a time, for a dash, they are gone. There are many verses in the Bible about time management, and I want to share a few of those with you. In James 4:13-15, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow I will go into this or that town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" In Psalms 90:12, So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And in John 9:4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent us. Night is coming when no one can work. And the last one, Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Friends, God created time. Why would he do so? Perhaps God wanted to see not only what we would make our life mean, but also to see how much he would mean to us. It's all about what we decide. God has given all of us the answers and the tools, everything that we need. It is written in the Bible. God will not make any one of us do anything. He created us with free will. But the choices we make have consequences, whether it's good or bad. Are we going to choose to live right or to choose to sin? Perhaps time is more about showing all of us how much we mean to God. Our life is like a ticking clock. But our new life in heaven will never stop. Today, folks, I want to invite Shaziz to today's message, and I want to see what his thoughts are on this message. And so, thank you for joining us today here, Shaziz. And what are your thoughts on time management?
Time. I don't know. That's a strange subject that goes way back whenever I was a child. Started off in this world rough, trying to figure out what the point of it all was. It was a pain in the neck for a long time. You know, I had big dreams and hopes and all that, things I wanted to be able to do or buy or all that kind of stuff. And it took many years, if not decades. Am I old enough to be around for decades?
Maybe a few. Maybe just a couple.
A couple decades to finally get to the point where I could have a general idea of what the heck it was all about to begin with.
You know, I think most of us probably would find ourselves in that same predicament, really. I mean, it took decades for me also to figure out why I'm even on this earth at all. What is my purpose?
You know, like, school was a pain in the neck. Work was a pain in the neck. People around you can sometimes be a pain in the neck. But when it all comes down to it, if you look back in through your life, the best of times were those times that you were with your brother or your sister or your family, you know. And, you know, even while things might have been hard at the time, you know, that those times were the good times. Even when your family wasn't necessarily getting along.
I think time gives us all perspective.
Yeah. I mean, you said it better there. Time giving you perspective. It's when you're looking through your own eyes out at the world and you see all the things that you'd like to happen, not happen, and or finances aren't giving you what you need, or things are just... It seems to put a grind on person's ambitions or dreams, because it's just not happening fast enough. I think one of my major flaws is I'm impatient. There's things that could be fixed in this world, but we have to realize we got to do it together, like families do it together. You know, it's a family that makes things work.
Yeah.
You know, you one person by yourself, I mean, you can accomplish a lot of stuff, but you can't just... It doesn't seem like one person can have fun by themselves for very long, or, you know, enjoy life without that connection that I think we're all built to have.
And, you know, what you're saying right here and now puts a vision in my mind of times long gone by, you know, of my family, you know, and every other family out there, too, but, you know, my vision for my family, you know, goes back to the good times goes so far back as all the times I spent with my grandparents, you know, when I was born and raised on a farm, and everybody did everything together. Everybody congregated at Grandma and Grandpa's house, you know, for all the holidays. The grandparents were the glue, and we made time, and we had so much fun, and we accomplished a lot too, but it wasn't all about, you know, my grandparents had a lot of fruit on their farm and crops and all of these things. But you know, back in those days, it was hard back in those days, but when you look back at times in today's times, you know, and how everybody treats one another.
They were simpler, and now you text each other from the couch.
Yeah, and you don't even actually even talk to a person. You text from the couch, or you know, you don't actually go and visit anymore and spend that quality time. And, you know, back in the day, you know, my family traveled, you know, to one another. You know, it wasn't just taking care of the ones that live at the house where you live. It is traveling to your aunts and uncles and your cousins and your grandparents, and they travel to you, and everybody accomplishes everything. They're all going toward the same goal, and they're all accomplishing it together, and it's going faster because they're working as a team. And then when all the work is done, you know, and somehow we always managed to make it fun no matter what. Even when it was work, it was fun.
Oh, yeah. You can... I find greatest joy in doing things for other people because I like to see that it benefits their life and makes them smile, makes them happy. You know, you mentioned earlier about alone time. You know, there's a lot of times I like to go sit down by the pond and just watch nature or go fishing or something like that. But it's always so much better to have somebody there to enjoy that time with you, kind of like you and I sit down by the pond the other day, and it's just wonderful out there, and we could talk about our dreams.
Well, and you know, that is a time, like I'd said in my show earlier, there is a time for everything. And during that time, not only are we having bonding time, but we're also appreciating all the things that God has created on this earth and all the things that He created for our pleasure. But, you know,
the biggest thing about the whole deal is I believe we were set here to be caretakers. I believe we actually are our brother's keepers. That when we work together with each other, we reap the benefits. We get the good food to eat. We have the good time together, the quality time, the companionship, all that kind of stuff. And there's something to be said about the end of the day when you can be proud of the work that you've done and know that it wasn't all for your own selfish gain. It was for your family.
Exactly, and for God.
Yeah, the things that you as a mother and a wife do for your family, you know, you might not give yourself much credit for, but it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of willpower to force yourself to get up and cook or clean or do things or go out and garden or whatever. But the benefits of having you in my life has been amazing, and I'm sure that your children feel the same exact way. So not all of your time's been squandered, my love. It's been really nice, you know. Sometimes I think I probably could have done a whole lot more than what I did. But the long term is, when you get older and you start realizing the most important thing in this world, put God up at the top with the glory because we were gifted this life. But the most important thing in this world is to love as hard as you can and be as good as you can to all the people around you, because that's what makes this world better.
I agree. You know, I'm a giving person. That's what God has created me for, is to give. And I have a huge heart. And, you know, it just, that's my reward, is to give to others.
Some folks only think about what they can gain for themselves. What, I'll do this for you, what will you do for me, kind of thing.
My reward is just giving and seeing the smiles on every, you know, on other people's faces, and that's all the payment that I need is a smile, knowing that I made a difference in this world. To all of you out there listening, you know, I haven't seen any of you out there personally, but my reward is knowing on these Saturdays that God is working through me to make a difference in each of your lives out there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, not everyone is called to do something like that, but everybody is equally as important, as equally, their lives are equally as precious, and we can all do something.
That's,
you know,
it. We're all called to do something. You know, the book says that it's easier for a camel to thread an eye of a needle than it is for a wealthy man to enter the gates of heaven. That's because a lot of folks don't understand what the real wealth of this world is. It's not the gold or the silver or the, you know, the money and the houses and the fancy cars. Those are all cool things to have. Makes life a little easier and enjoyable. But in the long term, you know, we're not poor financial-wise, but we're definitely not rich, because there's a lot of things that we'd like to be able to afford.
But we are rich in heart.
But we are wealthy.
Yes, we are.
We're very wealthy because our family, our grandchildren, our children, and the things that we are able to do for them, we're grateful for them, and we thank the Lord for those blessings. To me, that makes me feel like a king, and you my queen.
You know, there have been people said, many people who have said, to me, you're overextending yourself. You need to learn how to say no sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Well, and in some instances, I know you're correct, but I have such a hard time. But I have a hard time saying no to people because I love people so much.
I know.
And I feel like God has put me on this earth to give back to people, and I'm like a little kid in a candy store, you know. Ooh, I want to help that one. Ooh, I want to help that one. Oh, I think I've got a little time. Let me go over here and help this one too. You know,
folks, you should see her to-do list. Her to-do list will make you tired just reading.
Anyway, it's not about me. It's about God, and it's about, you know.
Well, sometimes it's got to be about you.
You gotta
be strong so that you can be strong for others.
Well, that is true, but it really isn't about me. It's
think,
about God.
No,
and,
I ain't what I'm saying.
And,
do you think God doesn't want you to take care of yourself?
Yeah, but we're going down a rabbit hole. This isn't what we're talking about.
No.
So,
it kind of is.
But anyway, folks, I hope you'll think about today's message. Thank you, Shaziz, for joining us. I hope you will consider how you spend your time, what you do with your time. Stop to consider maybe other ways that you could use your time more wisely, so that when your time on this earth is done, that people, when they talk about the dash in your life, it will truly be a celebration of life, how God has worked in your life and all the things that you've accomplished in Christ. Let's go ahead and say a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, when our life on earth is done, may we all stand before you and hear these words: well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, we know our time on earth is short. Help us to use our time wisely while we're here, and to leave our mark when our time is done. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. May God bless each and every one of you and your families until we connect up again next week, same time, same place. Friends, go out there this week and be purposeful about your time management. Be thinking about today's message and what God is trying to tell you. Because God has a special message for each and every one of us that only we can hear, that's only meant for our ears. Open your minds and your hearts to be receptive to the message that He has for you specifically. Because the message is different for each and every one of us. Make that time to just silence your mind and just to listen to Him. And pray for His guidance in your life. I hope you all have a very good week.
it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Forever, forever worship you.